All right, so I want to talk to you today, continuing our series. We feels like this one's been going on a while, amen? If you've been here, if you're new, we're picking up on this today, but we've been in a series. And in this series, bottom line, I've been saying this. Whatever battles you're facing, whatever struggles you're facing, whatever's right in front of you is not all there is. There's actually a battle behind that battle, a struggle behind that struggle, and that struggle, that battle is a spiritual one. That's what this series has been about, that there are spiritual battles and struggles that we face. It's not just what's in front of us, that's all we see sometimes, but there's a lot more going on behind the scenes. And so because of that battle, we need spiritual protection. We need the armor of God. That's what this series has been all about. And if you're not a Christian or you're not a church person, welcome. I'm so glad you're at Quest. We want you to feel comfortable and welcome here. And this may sound strange to you to talk about this battle behind the battle, this kind of weird, you know, devil God thing, whatever. And we, I think, as Christians need to just kind of own up sometimes and go, yep, there's some weird stuff in Christianity, right? And being a Christian. But we believe in this because we believe in God and we believe we do have a spiritual enemy and that there's a battle behind the battle. All right. And even Christians sometimes struggle to own that reality and say that it's true. But we looked at somebody named Paul who wrote a letter to the first century church in Ephesus who talked about this struggle, this very real battle that exists. And here's what he said to them. Remember these words. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Right here, he talks about the spiritual battle. He talks about a spiritual enemy. He goes on, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood. It's not what we see right in front of us, but it's against the rulers, the authorities, the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Again, the spiritual battle. But what do we do because there's a spiritual battle? Here's where he gets into that. He says, therefore, put on the full armor of God, because there is a spiritual battle. Put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground and after everything you've done, to still stand. And then Paul gets into what the actual armor looks like. And this is what we've been breaking down and studying throughout this series. He says, stand firm then with the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness. I'm going to let you read those. It takes the wind out of me to say them every time. There's six of them. And he talks about all of these things. And we've looked at four of the pieces of armor that Paul talks about. But bottom line, after you read that, this is what Paul is saying. It's my kind of summation, if you will, of all of this that we've just put on the screen. If I don't suit up, I'll be taken down. If I don't put on the armor of God, if I don't suit up in that armor, then I will be taken down. I will lose the spiritual battles that exist. I will struggle. I will not overcome that sin. My marriage will fall apart. My identity won't be known in God. All of these things that we struggle with, we will lose that battle. We have an enemy that's attacking us. It says that in the scripture. It says it constantly in the story of God and us. And so if I don't suit up, I'll be taken down. We've looked at four pieces of armor so far. Today is the helmet of salvation, the fifth one. We got one more next week. And so here's a picture of what a Roman soldier may have looked like. And it has the helmet there. And the helmet protected, obviously, what? The head. Because in battle, if you took out the head, you took out the mind and the ability to think and control and to fight. And so the head is where the mind is located. I was reading about Roman soldiers' helmets and how amazing they really were. They could be hit with a battle axe and the person could still fight. I mean, that's crazy, right? You might kind of go, you know, your head will be ringing for a moment, but these things were amazing. And so they would wear these helmets, and it would protect their brain, their mind, their head in battle. All right, so what does that mean for us? Why would Paul use this imagery? Remember, he was looking at Roman soldiers because he was in jail when he wrote what I just read to you. And so in jail, he's seeing these soldiers walk back and forth, and he sees the armor they're wearing. He's like, we need armor as Christians. And he's like, we need a helmet as a Christian, as a follower of Jesus. He calls it the helmet of salvation. But as we know, the helmet protects the head, it protects the mind, it protects the thinking. So ultimately, I believe this is true. My mind is where the spiritual battle is going to be won or lost. Is it not true that you struggle up here, right? With the way you think. If we think wrong, we act wrong. If we don't think about who we are in God, we won't know who we are in God. If I don't think I can do it, I can't do it. Does this make sense? Right? We need to think with our minds the way God would have us to think, because that's where the battle is won or lost. And the reality is, you all, hundreds of you, including myself, have come in here today, and there is a battle in my mind to think the thoughts that God would have me to think. I think most of us would say, yeah, I struggle in my head. I struggle to think right. I struggle in my mind. But why would Paul call it salvation, like the helmet of salvation? What has that got to do with anything? And I got to tell you, I struggled with this part, because I was like, yeah, why is it called salvation? What really is that about? How does salvation, the helmet of salvation, protect my mind, my thinking? In fact, I was thinking, I would have used, you know, he talked about the feet fitted with the gospel of peace. I think I would have used peace for the mind. You know, Paul, you got it wrong. Why you use salvation? I think peace is kind of, don't you want peace in your head, anybody? Like, I need peace, right? Well, he talked about that with the shoes, but why with the helmet and the head and the mind did he talk about salvation? So I had to start asking this question, what really is salvation? Certainly salvation is a church word. It's a spiritual word. You guys are from the South. Well, you live in the South, at least. And if you're not from the South, you hear people in the South talk about salvation, be like, I got saved. And we say it like that, don't we? Have you gotten saved? It's got saved, not been saved. Have you got saved? Right? I got saved. And that is language we use, usually in the South, to talk about salvation. And it's true that we get saved. We experience salvation. But what do we mean by that? I think very often we don't even know. I like the word rescued. It's all just another way of saying it. But I think sometimes when we use this language, we don't think about what the language even means. So what is salvation and how does that protect our minds? This is where I got stuck this week. In fact, I wrote out all this stuff at this point. I'm letting you into my thinking and what was going on. And I had all this stuff written out, and I had these cool statements, I thought, built around this, but I just like, I don't like this. It just seemed like I was trying to summarize salvation, which I was, because we're talking about it, and I was like, I don't like what I'm saying. I don't, it's too hard to define something like salvation. And so I actually, and this is not like me if you know me, I copied all that part that I had written and I just hit delete without anything else written. That's what I mean if you know me, like I need something, so at least let's keep that for a while, right? I was like, no, this ain't right, so I deleted it. And then I just kind of went back to the drawing board when I got to this point in the message. It was cool till here. I feel like it's been good. You feel like it's been good? I mean, but then I was like, now what do I do? Like, why is it called salvation? What is salvation? And then I began to think, and I was led, I think, to a scripture that most of us have heard, but where Jesus talks about salvation. Because a guy comes to him and says, what do I have to do to be saved? And Jesus, God's Son, answers the question. And here's how he answers it. He talks to the guy. He says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And then here's verse 17. Most of us have heard verse 16. That was that. But here's verse 17. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. And I put Jesus there because Jesus himself is the one saying this. He's answering somebody's question about how to get saved, how to experience salvation. And here's Jesus's summation of salvation. All right, remember, we're talking about the helmet, and don't lose that, your head, your mind, what you think. And according to Jesus, I'm going to leave this up here. I want you to follow me. He defines salvation this way. Here's how it begins. You ready? Salvation is God loving me. You see that? He says, for God so loved the world. And so salvation begins with an understanding that God loves me. It is God loving me. Whether you believe he loves you or not, he does. It starts with God loves me. God loves us. And it's not just love. I love how it throws in the word so loved here. God so loved the world. Right? I mean, that's better than love. Like, in my marriage, I ought to so love my wife, right? And I hope she knows I so love her, not just how you're thinking with that, all right? I so love my wife. And sometimes I have guys, when she knows I love her, I'm like, oh, that's great, man. Good luck. She's not impressed, okay? You need to so love your spouse. And it goes both ways. But you know what I'm saying? It's like you feel it. You know it. For God so loved us. He didn't just love us. He so loved us. So salvation begins with God loving us. What is salvation? What does it mean to get saved? It means God loves you. That's the first part. That's what it says right here. But it goes on. It says, salvation is me, and this is what we like to think about. But I think we have to start with God loves us. Whether we ever get to the next part, it's true that God loves us. But here's the next part. It's believing that he loves us. Can I change the word belief? Y'all okay with it? I know in the Bible, some of you quote, like, it says in the old, you know, don't change the words. I'm just talking. We're talking. Amen? You got this? We're talking about what this says. I want to change the word believe. I've never thought of it this way, to think. We need to think that God loves us. That is belief. When you think something is true, that is believing. I believe I love my wife. I think that I love my wife. I'm thinking the thoughts that I love somebody. I think she loves me. Not I question it or something. We turn that too much into a question. No, I think it here, and it's true, so I believe it. So God loves us. That is salvation. Y'all following me? Come on, we're going to school here. And I think that he loves me. That's a part of salvation, because some of us don't think that God loves us. We actually believe it. We say we believe it, but we don't think it. Our lives give us away. By the way that we live, by the way that we put ourselves down, by the way we say constantly, we're unworthy. And then when somebody says that, I'm like, are you a follower? Are you a Christian? Yes. You're not unworthy. You've been saved. You got saved, to use that language. You've been rescued. I understand we're sinners. I understand we're unworthy of God's love, but he loves us anyway. But when you understand and think that he loves you, it changes who you are. Amen? Your identity is different. I'm a son of God. I'm a daughter of the King. You have to think it. That is what belief is. So, man, what would it be like if you thought God loved you? That is belief. And then it goes on. It says, you got to know how it happened. God loves us. We think God loves us. We believe God loves us. We think about it. And then we know how he did it. How does he love us? How did he demonstrate that? Jesus, his son, the one that's making this statement. He was sent on our behalf. He loved us so much, God did, that he sent his son, gave up his son. And here's the thing. I added verse 17 because I think sometimes this message gets turned in, you better believe God loves you, blah, 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 blah. And we forget verse 17 that says, he wasn't sent to point at you and condemn you. He was sent to rescue you. Amen? He was sent so you would know he so loves you. That's why he came, yes, to forgive your sin, all that kind of stuff. But I think we forget sometimes that the central message here that Jesus is bringing is you're loved. You need to believe, think that you're loved. And you need to know how you're loved. It's in Jesus. That, my friends, is salvation. I want to push this a little bit further down into the cracks of our lives. Can I do that? Salvation is believing God loves me, believing is thinking, and I want to drive this home just a little bit more about what God thinks about us. So I want to make this statement. What I think God thinks about me. All right, so we all think things God thinks about us. I've just shared with you kind of the essence of salvation and what he thinks about you. But what I think God thinks about me up here determines this, my mindset. So when I think God's thought, when I think this is what God thinks about me, it sets my mind in a certain direction. Is this not true? If you don't feel your love by God, it sets your mind in a certain direction. If you do believe it, if you think it, it sets your mind in a certain direction, which determines how I live my life. That's what ends up happening. When you look at how a person's living their life, you can go back to their mindset in reverse, and then you can know that they're thinking certain things that God thinks about them. A person at peace knows who they are. And so when a person at peace is offended, they don't have to be offended, amen? When somebody offensive comes, because you're not defining yourself by what that person thinks. You're defining yourself by what? God thinks. And so what I think God thinks about me determines my mindset, which determines how I live my life. So I need to be thinking that God loves me. We don't think that enough. He saves me. He's given me a new identity. Again, son or daughter, this needs to be my mindset every single day. And it determines then how I live. I want to push this down into the cracks just a little bit more. I want to drive this home. This is what I would say to you. We need to think more. What I think God thinks about me, those are the most important thoughts I have. Can I tell you something? You have thousands of thoughts a day. I have to say it because it's true. Research shows women have more than men. Just saying. It says that. Most of us guys, huh? What's he saying? See what I'm saying? Women, your brains are just working right now. Guys are like, huh? Can I get an amen? At least from the women, amen. You're like, I wish he would think more. I know. See, that's what I'm saying. But what I think God thinks about me are the most important thoughts that I have. So what do you think God thinks about you? Whatever those thoughts are, those are the most important thoughts you have. And so, friends, that is the helmet of salvation. Because salvation is everything we just said about God loving you and God sending Jesus to rescue you and you thinking and believing that it's true. That's what protects your mind. That's what protects your thoughts. If your thoughts and your mind are under attack, it's probably, most likely, because you're not thinking what God thinks about you. You're thinking something else. You're thinking what you think about you. You're thinking what that other person said about you. You're thinking what social media, like number 17 in the comment section of your post said about. Anybody know what I'm talking about, right? We need to be thinking God's thoughts about us, and those are the most important thoughts we have. That is the helmet of salvation. Great stuff, John. How do I do that? Well, a while back, I preached about a spiritual discipline. I'm going to close with this today. You need spiritual discipline to do what I'm talking about. This doesn't naturally happen. You've got to do something unnatural, spiritual. And I often tell people, whatever you're naturally doing probably isn't working for you, so try something that's different. Like if you're in the room and you're like, yeah, my thoughts are killing me and I'm killing myself and I don't think the... So what you need is what I'm talking about in just a moment. You need a spiritual discipline. We are disciples, for goodness sakes. Discipline, amen? If you're a Christian, we need to be more disciplined. So you need a spiritual discipline, a skill, if you will. I often teach what I'm about to tell you to young people because I want them to develop this skill so they don't think like I did for so long. I want them to think like God wants them to think. I shared this a while back, and I struggled. Like, should I even say this again? Like, I already said this. And I thought, you know, some of this stuff has to be repeated. Some of us need to hear it again, including myself. And so Paul, who wrote Ephesians, that letter, also wrote a letter to the Corinthian church, a couple of letters. And in one of those letters, look at what he says about the spiritual discipline and skill. He says, For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. So Paul starts out by saying, look, we're in a spiritual battle, right? That's what he's saying it again in just another letter to a church in the first century. There's another kind of battle, not a human battle. He goes, the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of this world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. Once again, he's like, hello, there's a spiritual battle, Christians. This is what he's saying. You're so focused on what's in front of you and the human way of responding to everything. And I'm telling you, you need a spiritual way to respond. God's given us certain ways to do that. And he even talks about strongholds here. Now, here's the thing. In our minds, because he's talking about our thinking, you'll see that in just a moment, there are strongholds. Oh, don't lose. Stay with me. If you tuned out, tune back in. Some of us have strongholds. A stronghold is where the enemy comes in and camps out, and you let him. And over time, he builds a house there. It's not a tent. And then, you know, he puts in electricity, and, you know, the house gets bigger and bigger. It's in our minds that, and what we forget is that we own the house. And we've let the enemy rent space in our house, and what we need to do is evict him. Amen? Some of you need to evict the enemy from your mind because he's taken up residence. You've let him live there, sometimes for a really long time. If you're sitting here and you don't believe God loves you, you have let the enemy take up residence in your mind. So Paul's given us a spiritual discipline, because he knows it happens in the mind. He knows the battle is won or lost there. And so he goes, we demolish arguments. This is the next part. And every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. What he's saying here is we knock those strongholds down. We don't let the enemy take up residence in our mind. There is knowledge from God that is real and exists. And the knowledge is salvation. It is that you're loved. It is that you need to think you're loved. It is that God did that for us in Christ. This is the knowledge of God. And then he gives us the spiritual discipline, this last little line, and we take captive every thought. John, you said there are thousands, yep, a day, to make it obedient to Christ. How do you take captive every thought? The helmet of salvation. You got to put it on. We've got to wear the knowledge of who we are in God. You can't let every thought in. There are some you should let in. There are some you should not. You must have the discipline and skill as a follower to not let in that which shouldn't be there and let in that which should. When I was teaching this to young people, I used an image of the cross. And so I have a picture of the cross. And I said this, look, and I think I said this at our church when I taught on this. Whenever a thought comes, if it's a good thought, a God thought, here's the spiritual skill. Let it in if it's good. Let it in. Think of the cross. Is this, drag it to the cross. It says, make it obedient to Christ. What that means is you go, hey, let's ask Jesus about this thought. Before we let it in here, because it's going to come. The thoughts, just so you know, are always going to come. If you're wearing the helmet of salvation with the cross, you're going to have the ability to choose to think it or to not think it. The cross. You need to judge everything by the cross and salvation. John, what if it's a bad thought? Here's all you got to do. Take the cross, turn it. No, thank you. I am not that. You will not do that to me again. See, I had a sin in my life for a long time, personally, that I just kept giving into. And then there was a day, people asked me, how'd you overcome it? I turned the cross. I was like, no, we're done with this. I can't do this anymore. It is destroying me, and it's creating in my mind a whole new thought pattern for who I am. And I am not that person. I had believed that I couldn't not give in. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? See, I had to take the cross and go, no. It's the same thing. It's the cross, but you turn it and you say no. This is the spiritual skill. This is the discipline that we all need, the helmet of salvation, so that your mind, your thoughts, are what God would have.